भगवति उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। हरे कृष्ण। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम चैप्टर नंबर 4, द फोर कैटेगरीज ऑफ एनहाइलेशन, बिगिनिंग फ्रॉम टेक्स्ट 7. सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम टेक्स्ट 7 टू टेक्स्ट 14. सो टेक्स्ट 7 गोज, पर्जन्य शतवर्षाणि भूमौ राजन्न वर्षति तदा निरन्यह्यन्योन्यम् भक्ष्यमानाक्षुधादितः क्षयं यास्यन्ति शनकै कालेनो दुप्रदा प्रजाः। द ट्रांसलेशन गोज, एज एनहेलेशन अप्रोचेस ओ किंग, देर विल बी नो रेन अपॉन द अर्थ फॉर 100 ईयर्स, ड्रॉट विल लीड टू फेमाइन एंड द स्टार्विंग पॉपुलेस विल लिटरली कंज्यूम वन अनदर। The inhabitants of earth, bewildered by the force of time, will gradually be destroyed. Samudram daihikam bhaumam rasam samvartako ravihi rashmi bhi bivade ghore sarvam naivami munchati. The sun in its annihilating form will drink up its terrible rays. With its terrible rays, all the water of the ocean, of living bodies and of the earth itself. But the devastating sun will not give rain in return. Tata samvartako vahaneer sankarshana mukhotitah dahat anila vegotha shunyan bhuvivaranatha. Next, the fire, the great fire of annihilation, will flare up from the mouth of Lord Shankarshana. Carried by the mighty force of the wind, this fire will burn throughout the universe, scorching the lifeless cosmic shell. Uparya ada samanta cha shikabhira vahani surya yo dahyamanam vivatyandam dagdhagomaya pindavat. Burning from all sides, from above by the blazing sun and from below by the fire of Lord Shankarshana, the universal sphere will glow like a burning ball of a cow dung. Tatah prachanda pavano varshanam adhikam shatam para samvartakavati dhumrakham arjasavratam. A great and terrible wind of destruction will begin to blow for more than 100 years, and the sky covered with dust will turn grey. Tato megha kulanyanga chitra varnananeksha shatam varshani varshanti nadanti rasabhasvai. After that, O king, group of multicolored clouds will gather, roaring terribly with thunder, and will pour down floods of rains for 100 years. Tata ekodakam vishvam brahmanda vivarantaram. At that time, the shell of the universe will fill up with water, forming a single cosmic ocean. So we'll recite the text number 14. Tada bhume gandhagunam grasanti apa udaplave grasta gandha tu prithvihi pralayatvaya kalpate. तदा भूमेर गंधगुणम् ग्रसंताप उदप्लवे ग्रस्तगंधा तु पृथ्वी प्रलयत्वाय कल्पते तदा भूमेर गंधगुणम् ग्रसन्त्याप उत प्लवे ग्रस्तगन्धा तु पृथिवी परत्वाय कल्पते। तदा भूमेर्गन्धगुणम् ग्रस्तगन्धा तु पृथिवी प्रयत्वाय कल्पते। Then, Bhumehe of the earth, Gandhagunam, the perceptible quality of fragrance, Grasanti takes away, Apaha, the water, Udaplave, during the flooding, Grastagandha, deprived of its fragrance, To and Prithvi, the element earth, Pralayatvaya Kalpate, becomes unmanifest. The translations and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As the entire universe is flooded, the water will rob the earth of its unique quality of fragrance, and the element earth, deprived of its distinguishing quality, will be dissolved. Purport. As clearly explained throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, the first element sky possesses the quality of sound. As creation expands, the second element air comes into being and it possesses sound and touch. The third element, fire, possesses sound, touch and form. And the fourth element, water, possesses sound, touch, form and flavor. The earth possesses sound, touch, form, flavor and aroma. As each element loses its unique distinguishing quality, it naturally becomes indistinguishable from the more subtle elements. And this is thus effectively dissolved as a unique entity. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Abhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutare Swayam Rupa Gadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guraha Shri Yuta Padakamalam, Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam, Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam, Sadvaitam Savadutam, Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padam, Sahagana Lalita, Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha, Namam Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale, श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी निति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौरत्विषे नमः वांछाकल्पतरूभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानाम पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरंगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये नीलाचल निवासाय नित्याय परमात्मने बलभद्र सुभद्राभ्याम जगन्नाथाय ते नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा कृष्णा कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। सर्वशास्त्राधि पीयूषः सर्ववैदेहिक सत्फल सर्व सिद्धांत रत्नाढ्य सर्वलोकैक दृक्पद सर्व भागवत प्राण श्रीमद् भागवत प्रभो कलिध्वान्तोदितादित्य श्री कृष्ण परिवर्तित परमानंद पाठाय प्रेम वर्ष अक्षराय ते सर्वदा सर्वसेव्याय श्री कृष्णाय नमो नमः। मदेकमंदो मत्संगी मन्गरो मन्महाधना मदनिस्तारक मदभाग्य मदानंद नमोस्तुते। असाधु साधु तादाई नति निच्चोच तारका हान मुंच कदाचिन मान प्रेम नट कंठयो स्फुरः। मुकं करोति वाचलं पंगुमुलंगयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारिणं श्रीचैतन्यईश्वरं परमानंदमाधवं। हरे कृष्ण। सो अ वेरी ब्यूटिफुल डिस्क्रिप्शन ऑफ द प्रोसेस ऑफ एनहाइलेशन, द प्राकृतिक एनहाइलेशन, द आत्यंतिक एनहाइलेशन एंड द ओकेजनल इज नैमित्तिक एनहाइलेशन। सो हियर द प्राकृतिक एनहाइलेशन बिगिन्स, द डिवास्टेशन फायर इज बिगिनिंग एंड इज सो इंटरेस्टिंग the way the information is given, where in this world we believe only in something which is gross, something which is tangible. But here, as we read in Srimad Bhagavatam, something goes from subtle to gross and then winds up back very gracefully. Very gracefully, of course, very, very ghastly, but there is order in creation, at the same time there is order in annihilation as well. Not that suddenly boom and everything is finished. Just like the well-known theory is that something just clasped and the creation began. But there is order in creation and there is order. Parasa shaktir vividhaiva shroyate swabhaviki jnana bala kriyacha. The Lord is so merciful that He allows all His shaktis to create at the same time to annihilate. So the purport speaks about the process of creation, how the sky comes in being, which has the unique quality of sound. I specifically remember this because the last faculty of a human as he passes away is sound. The sound is the last thing he can hear. So that is the time why you chant when somebody passes away. I remember once one Mataji was in the temple. Somehow that she fainted, rather than giving her water, everybody around her started chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So it was a very funny incident. That sound is very, very powerful. So that sound came into being when the sky came into being. And after the sky came, what was the next element? Air. Air came into being, which has sound and touch. After which, the fire came into being, which has sound, touch and form. And then water came into being, which has the additional quality of taste. And then earth came into being, which has the additional quality of fragrance. Punyo, gandha, prithivyamcha. That smell, especially we observe this when the first rains come. That
sweet fragrance. You know, nowadays in the market you get a perfume of earth also. Earth perfume. And especially when we go to buy some attars for the Lord, that time there is a special earth, an earth fragrance. So, this is the way it has come into being, and now it is going into annihilation. So the first thing that we observe is 100 years of famine. My God, who will survive that? And to survive that, what will happen? People will start becoming cannibalistic. People will start eating. You know, we hope and pray that we don't live to see those days. But here, a very vivid mention of how the annihilation is going to happen. Total famine. No food. And because of that, people will start devouring each other. The sun will dry up the ocean, will dry up all the living entities. And normally when sun dries, the clouds are formed and it gives back. You know, that is the ecosystem. But here, as the sun is drying up, like a black hole, he is going to dry up everything and not give back anything. The entire universe will be lifeless because almost all the living entities, because of the heat of the sun, are going to die. And then after that, as the sun is drying, Lord Anantashesh, he becomes angry and puts forth fire of destruction. And as the fire comes from below and the sun from above, the whole universe is going to burn and burn like a ball of cow dung. I recently saw a video where people keep on doing different experiments. So this man, what he did was, he got matchsticks and stuck matchstick to each other and actually made a ball out of the whole matchstick and hung the matchstick ball and lit fire. And from different angles, he was showing the ball being burnt. But the original analogy comes in Srimad Bhagavatam, where the ball of cow dung fire, as it will burn, and that whole thing that as I read this, I vividly remembered that matchstick ball burning, and burning in different phases. First there was spark, then there were flames, then there was, the red hot coal, and still the molten lava coming from out inside. So the whole earth is going to become a fiery ball. So now you will say, ho gaya na, that's it now, what else? But that's not it. Suddenly from everywhere, multicolored clouds are going to come. This is very attractive, but I hope for that attraction we don't remain. The attractive clouds are going to, the samvartaka clouds are going to come, and they are going to lash rains. And lash so much rain that the entire universe will become one cosmic ocean. Now what will happen when you take, mud and put it inside the glass of water? The mud will dissolve. The mud will lose its potency. We see when there is, heavy rains, what happens? When there is flood, the entire crops is destroyed because the earth loses its potency of nourishment. So here, this verse talks about how the water will rob earth from its main constituents of fragrance. And then it will dissolve. And then the further verses are going to speak of how the different elements are going to rob the unique quality, and how the ultimate creation, how the ultimate destruction is going to happen. And ultimately the Pradhana will reside, and that till the next creation. So we see Srimad Bhagavatam is speaking about the annihilation and creation. The story of creation and the story of annihilation. Srila Sukadeva Goswami does not directly go and speak about the intimate pastimes of the Lord as spoken in the 10th canto. He first speaks about creation. Parikshit Maharaj also questions, and accordingly Sukadeva Goswami gives the detailed history of creation. Why? Just to understand that this creator has such aishwarya, has such magnificence that now we get awed by the greatness of the Lord. It's very important to understand the greatness of the Lord. Otherwise, the glories and the pastimes of the Lord can be taken cheaply, can be taken for granted. If you don't understand the greatness of a person, you know, long back, you know, I love the story where one devotee, he went to Mayapur, and normally devotees come for training, like from different places, and he came to Mayapur and he was staying in Mayapur, and the first person he met, he started having very nice, friendly, you know, behavior with him. And this other Vaishnava was also very friendly, and you know, he started inquiring with him, he started talking to him, he started, you know, becoming very, very familiar with this other Vaishnava. And suddenly, after some days, he realized that this Vaishnava is not something very, very, you know, very, very ordinary. He is none other than the head pujari of Shri Mayapur Chandodaray Mandir, Jananivas Prabhu. You know, he became so overawed that, you know, this devotee has such humble demeanor, but at the same time, he holds such a great position. You know, I remember our Gaur Krishna Prabhu, when the first day he came, you know, 26th of June 2003, he entered the temple, his father got him, and his father wanted him to join. So he came inside, and the first thing he saw was somebody brooming the temple. And he came and said that, you know, why, I want my son to join. And then little did he realize that the person who is brooming is the temple president of the temple. So we don't understand the pastime of the Lord, it being so very human-like and so very touching to the heart. But many times we tend to forget the greatness of the Lord, which is very, very important. That's why Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, again and again when we hear the different glories of the Lord, the different qualities of the Lord, we can appreciate His activities. We can appreciate His qualities much more. Just as when we read Krishna book, such sweet pastimes, such simple pastimes, you get overawed after reading the pastimes of creation, the pastimes of the Lord fighting with so many different demons. The simple pastimes of the 10th canto become appreciable. Just like Srimad Bhagavatam. In Srimad Bhagavatam, we're talking about the theme of annihilation and creation. You know, normally it happens when we hear that the entire universe is going to become an ocean, you know, and then suddenly you think, you know, if I were that time, you know, what would I be? You know, what would be my existence? You know, and it's just puts in front of our eyes and opens our eyes to the insignificance of our existence, you know. Just like when you stand in front of the shores of ocean and see the vast expanse of the ocean, you understand the littleness of our existence. Many times, it so happens that because of our past karma, because of our skills, we might consider that, you know, a certain service is below my dignity to do. And the second illusion that comes to us is that certain service, I'm indispensable, I'm irreplaceable. But in these situations, when we hear these pastimes of annihilation, these pastimes of creation, we understand that compared to the entire universe, our existence is such insignificant, and nothing is going to change by my presence or my absence. Everything is put into system, and the system will go on, the glorification will go on, the services will go on. It is just that I have become an instrument. So here, Shukdev Goswami, after the beautiful narration of the 10th canto and the beautiful Uddhava Gita in the 11th canto, he is mentioning, no, there is no leela in this canto. There is only facts. Why? Just to emphasize that we have to go back to basics, right? The first shloka, anybody who understands or by hearts many times in this con, you know, natyevaham jatu nasam natvam neme janadipah, you know, and how we are not this body. But after many times hearing very esoteric pastimes, we tend to forget the basics. In games, you know, in fine arts, be it dancing, be it painting, the basics of every skill have to be not only mastered, but also practiced again and again. You know, just like whenever, you know, you start beginning your practice, it is not that you practice the main performance. You first practice the basic exercises, right? That's what's called warm up. You know, you warm up the muscles so that you can do it. If you don't do that, there is definitely failure. You know, in games, whenever there is failure, you know, whenever a particular team performs badly, the coach will come and say, you know, back to basics. So here, Shukdev Goswami is, after describing the entire pastime, he's coming and telling to Parikshit Maharaj that, you know, so many kings have come. You know, the second chapter is full of the names of kings. He's saying that, sab aaye aur sab gaye, keval naam matra ke liye hai. Don't worry. Be detached. Be detached from your position as king. The time has come. The glories of the Lord is going to suffice your heart and satiate your heart so much that the agony of pain, of death, is no more going to be touching you. You know, Srila Vilvamangal Thakur, he sings a very beautiful verse. Said, Jivhe sadaiva bhajasundarani namani krishnasya manoharani samasta bhaktarti vinashanani govinda damodara madhaveti. O tongue, worship the beautiful names of Krishna. Such attractive names, not only attractive, but they are the enemy of your enemy. Samasta bhakta arati vinashanani. They are going to vanquish all the enemies of a devotee. And now what are these enemies? These enemies are the subtle enemies that are lying inside the heart of a devotee. Saying just worship them, these names, very beautifully and very alertly, because this is going to take care of all your misgivings in the heart. And once the misgivings in the heart taken care of, what harm can the gross misgivings do to us? Once, on the macro level, you know, the nut is tightened, all the other micro problems are taken care of. So once your mind is taken care of, once all your six anarthas are taken care of, then you become a liberated living entity. The atyantika pralaya happens for you. You are liberated. In this world, or in other world. You are only absorbed in remembering the Lord and chanting the glories of the Lord. So such is the beautiful glory of Srimad Bhagavatam, that it takes the sadhaka from different stages and gets him to the ultimate climax, the pinnacle of all the pastimes of Krishna, and then again reminds him of the basics, hearing and chanting, which is so very important. Also, a very amazing point, observation is that the same grandfather of Parikshit Maharaj, Arjuna, he wanted to detach, he wanted to renounce, but Krishna is saying, fight. You fight, but fight with the attitude of detachment. But the same kingly order, Parikshit Maharaj, has been told now, you are not the body. So get detached of your upadhi, sarvapadhi vinirmuktam. Just relinquish your post as king and just concentrate on the glories of the Lord. So we see here, Arjuna also is told not to renounce, but have the mood of detachment. But here, as the time is ripe, Parikshit Maharaj is told to renounce and await the embrace of Krishna. So here, as we see in the verse, there is a very beautiful description of Anant Dev being very angry. That, in 1729, there was a huge fire in a temple. A mystical fire. How did the fire come up? Now, because we're talking about the fire of annihilation. This mystical fire of a temple, it not only burned the entire temple, but also the deity of the temple was also, it unmanifested because of this fire. And also many times later, when the temple was reconstructed in 10th January 1563, suddenly devotees observed that from the cracks of the walls of a temple, suddenly milk oozed out, And they had to really, so much milk was coming. As they were repairing, somebody happened to put a greater hole and the milk started gushing out. So they had to seal the walls of the temple. And till today also, if we are fortunate, when we go to this temple, we can see this temple, we can see the covering of this temple. And in 1628 also, they again saw from the northern side of the Rama temple there, again some milk started oozing out. And if you go behind the deity there, nobody is allowed to go behind the deity somehow, but here as you go towards the feet of the deity, you can hear the mild sound of ocean waves. In 1818, when Lord Anant Padmanabh, as he is reclining on the huge body of Ananta, the pujari, he could feel that the Lord just turned, just moved a little bit, and there was a tremor in the temple, just thoda sa angadai liya. The whole temple started tremoring. Until date, whenever the temple is closed and locked, many times the security and the pujaris, last pujaris, as they leave, they get to hear the sound of a lion. This is the great temple of Sri Thiruvananthapuram, Lord Ananta Padmanabha, where he reclines on the beautiful body of Anantadev. As we hear in this verse, Anantadev becomes, you know, I was reading the fifth canto where Srila Prabhupada mentions how Anantadev becomes slightly angry. You know, just by slight anger, there is fire coming out of his mouth. You know, he's very tolerant and he's very, very merciful to the living entities. You know, Srila Prabhupada talks about the mission of Anantadev. He says that the main mission of the Anantadev is to dissolve the material creation. But he checks his anger and intolerance. This material world is created to give the conditioned souls another chance to go back home, back to Godhead. But most of them do not take advantage of this facility. After the creation, they again exercise. After the lockdown, they again exercise their old propensity for lording it over the material world. These activities of the conditioned souls anger Anantadev, and he desires to destroy the entire material world. Yet, because he is Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is kind towards us and checks his anger and intolerance. Only at certain times does he express his anger and destroys the material world. The destruction of the material is very important, because when something is destroyed, something can be remade properly. You know, many times we have seen something which is maintained for a long time, again and again, a lot of patchwork is done. It is always a feasible option to break it and again create something new, right? You know, whenever you write notes and you have so many corrections into it, that you'll feel, you know, it's better to make a fair one rather than, you know, so many corrections are there. So here Anantadev does that service for the Lord of destruction of this entire material world. As the Lord is happy when the Sati's father, Sati's father, Daksha, when he's a Prajapati, when Prajapati has come forward and take the service of creation, he's very happy. But at the same time, when Anantadev comes forward, okay, you know, let me start the, you know, ball running, you know, he starts the fire, and that is what creates the ultimate, starts the annihilation. So the Lord is happy at the same time. So here in the fifth canto, there is a very beautiful description of the glories of Anantadev. Now, 240,000 miles below the Patala Loka is the loka where Lord Anantadev resides. He is the one who dictates the enjoying mentality in the living entity. One who thinks, you know, that I am the enjoyer and I have to enjoy this material world. Lord Anantadev, as in the form of Sankarshan, you know, according to his desire, gives him. He has thousands of hoods, and every universe is like a mustard seed on his huge head. When he becomes angry, from the middle of his eyebrows comes out Rudra. With his three eyes, he is a personification of all the 11 Rudras, and they perform, you know, the annihilation. The form of the Lord is very beautiful. Beginning from his lotus feet, his lotus nails are so beautiful and pinkish, and they have a mirror finish. You know, just like we have done the mirror finish to the temple hall, you know, there is a matte finish and there is a gloss finish. And there is something called as mirror finish. Mirror finish means you can actually see. And to the, you know, I was so happy to hear, to read, that, you know, he said that all the different associates of that loka, they come and bow down at the feet of the Lord, and they see their own reflection become happy. You know, the feet are so shiny and so beautiful. And then he wears beautiful bangles in his white hands. And he is the ocean of unlimited spiritual qualities. That's why he is called as Anantadev. And for the pleasure of his devotees, you know, other times, he emits beautiful vibrations, you know, just to please his devotees. Sweet vibrations come from his mouth. He wears bluish garment, you know, and he is the originator of the style of wearing one earring. He wears only one earring. And he holds a plow, you know. Also, there is mentioned Hari Bhakti Vilas, when different deities are mentioned. When the deity of Balaramji comes, it's said that he wears one earring. And then he holds a plow in his hand. He has a beautiful shining golden belt. And, you know, first time I read, he is wearing a Tulasi Mala. Not only Tulasi Mala, he is wearing a Tulasi Manjari Mala in his ear, in his neck. And he is the one who is a reservoir of all mystic power. He controls the minds of his devotees. He controls and purifies the sins of his devotees. And he sustains the entire universe. Such are the glories of Lord Anantadev. The Anant Padmanabh temple at Thiruvananthapuram, its glories and its mention comes in various different Puranas, be it Padma Purana, be it Skanda Purana, be it Vayu Purana, be it Varaha Purana, be it Brahmanda Purana. Even in Srimad Bhagavatam, the mention of this dham comes when Lord Balaram himself goes on a Tirtha Yatra. So, the temple is mentioned as Sananda Puram, where Balaramji goes and takes darshan of Anant Padmanabh. The deity of Anant Padmanabh is very, very beautiful. The story goes that there was a Brahmin, Atulo Brahmin, Divakara. As he is meditating, a small child comes and plays and says that, "I have no father and no mother. Will you take care of me?" So Divakara says, "Yes, I will take care of you." But the child keeps a condition that if you chastise me, I will leave. You know, tu bola aur main chala. You know, so I will, you say something, I will leave. So, very, very beautiful child, very beautiful pastimes going on, but also very naughty. So one day as Divakar is worshipping, he sees that this child takes one Shaligram Shila and puts him in his mouth and sucks the Shaligram Shila. So suddenly Divakar becomes very angry and chastises. How can you do this? Out of love, but as the condition is broken, the child says, "Now you have, you know, broken the condition, now I'll leave." And as the child starts running, Divakar runs behind him. And as the child is running, there is a beautiful tingling, you know, waist belt. And as the child is running from the forest, he suddenly looks at Divakar and says, "If you want to see me, you can find me in the Ananta forest." And he disappears. And then Divakar becomes restless. You know, he just cannot live without that child. The beautiful form of the child, the beautiful voice of the child, the beautiful pastimes of the child, that's what he remembers all the ways. And he's looking for the child frantically. As he reaches the south of Kerala, he sees a lady chastising her son. Says, you know, if you do a lot of, you know, more naughtiness, more mischief, I'll drop you in the Ananta forest. And suddenly, because he had asked so many, nobody knew about the Ananta forest. So finally he goes and says, you know, where do you find this Ananta forest? So there, Divakar goes in this dark forest and he takes one wick, you know, one diya. You know, just as we take one diya, and how much can you really see with that one diya? But he takes that one diya and starts looking in the forest. And as he's going deep in the forest, he again starts hearing the tinkling and becomes more desperate. And as he starts running behind that sound, suddenly he sees a big ulupa tree. And as he sees, the tree crashes down. And in front of him is a beautiful, huge, humongous form of Ananta Padmanabh, 18 kilometers long. His head in his one village, his waist in one village, and his feet in the Ananta forest. Suddenly, Divakar says, "No, the Lord, such a beautiful form of yours. Can you please come into a form in which I can worship you?" So then Lord mercifully reduces. Divakar has a stick in hand. And the Lord reduces 3 times the stick. Until today, the huge form of Anant Padmanabh can be seen from 3 doors. So much so that for the 3 doors, there are 3 different pujaris. One worshipping the lotus face of the Lord, one worshipping the waist of the navel of the Lord, and one worshipping the feet of the Lord. And they cannot exchange. So, the Lord is installed, and as we spoke about the mystical fire in 1729, the entire temple was burned down. And then the Lord inspired the king to make a beautiful deity, and he made a solid gold deity as long as the previous deity. But because, the Sevayats, always we have to think about the posterity, how the care and how the worship will go on. So here, the Sevayats said that, we can't keep the gold form. Later, how many invaders will come, we don't know. So, 12,008 Shilas, Shaligram Shilas were got from Nepal on an elephant. And with a particular mixture of herbs called as the Katu Sharkar Yogam. That was the Lord was embalmed with this Sharkara and this mixture and the Shaligram Shilas to give the shape of the present deity. So even now, many times the small parts of the deities shine. If you are fortunate to stand there for a long time, we can see. Nobody is allowed to go behind the deity. Because it is said that there is the ocean behind the deity. Once a pujari, very curious, he took a ring and threw it behind the Lord and pulled it back and saw that it was full of droplets of water. So this Anant Padmanabha temple is one of the most worshipped shrines. It is one of the 7 moksha sthalas, one of the 6 Narayan sthalas, is one of the 7 Parashurama kshetras. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Balaram, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, everybody visited the beautiful Anant Padmanabham temple. And here is the Kulashekhara Mandapa, where King Kulashekhar renounced everything and stayed and composed the beautiful Mukundamala Stotra. So we pray at the feet of Lord Ananta and Ananta Padmanabha that we can get the proper lessons from whatever happens to us in our life and not forget the basics of bhakti and worship Him with all our heart and soul. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Hridaye Gau Premanande.